The reading tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The gift of power. That's what I've been given to preach on tonight, the gift of power. But I thought I'd take us back to when I was about 9 years old, to start with. 9 years old. And it was Christmas Day, and I opened up the present that I've been wanting for a long, long time. It was the most amazing remote control car you could possibly imagine. It was fantastic. It had the power to go over all the rocks and stuff. It had great suspension. It's fantastic. I've been looking forward to this all Christmas. All year around, I've been waiting for this Christmas Day where I could get this fantastic remote control car. I had been writing my letters off to Santa. It was on there. I put down the Argos number as well, just so Santa knew where to get it from. Hey. And Christmas Day came, and I saw the big box. I thought, that's it. Fantastic. And of course, as a kid, you go straight to the big box. All the small ones can go hang. You're like, whoa, the big box. Went straight to the big box, tore the wrapping paper off it, and there it was, the box. And there was the remote control car that I'd wanted for so long. I tore the box open, got it all out, took all the pieces out, put it all together, and then I went to put the batteries in. I had one battery, two batteries, three batteries. I had up to eight batteries. I had one for the controller. Put all the batteries in, and then realised that there was a secret compartment in the other part of the car which took a 9-volt battery, which I didn't have. I was mortified. This present that I've been waiting for so long, suddenly I get there and I haven't got what I want to do with it. I want to play with it. I want to use it. I want to use it and have fun. And yet actually, I haven't quite got enough power to do what I wanted to do with it. I had the gift. I'd received it. But I couldn't do anything with it. And I think so it's this, like, our Christian walk. If we go, I'm saved. I'm there. I've got salvation. Fantastic. I've got what I've always wanted. I've got eternal life. I'm ready to go. And then we put some batteries in and we go, no, I've got a little bit of this. I've got a bit of that. I've got a bit of joy. And there just seems to be something missing. And it's like, oh no, I haven't quite, how does this work? I can't do what I thought this would allow me to do. And tonight we're going to talk about the gift of power. And if you were here this morning, you heard Roger talk on the power of God. And if you weren't here, I recommend you listening to it online because it was superb. And he nicked my talk completely. So I hope we build on this morning. And also, really and truly, what we were talking about in Mark's Gospel throughout the last part of this year, looking at the miracles in Mark. So he comes to this passage which Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And he starts by saying, he goes, I'm coming to you, not with great words, not with persuasive arguments, not with a great personality. I'm coming to you with Christ crucified. That's what I'm going to speak to you. That's what I'm going to tell you. Everything that I do is going to be around that. Now, that's a profound saying. You see, because in that culture, everything was about the argument of your philosophy. You have Paul going to Athens in another part of Acts, and it says that he discusses and debates on Mars Hill, which was like sort of the hub of deep thinkers. It was where people went to talk about the latest issue of the day. And it says that he went there to talk to them about Jesus. But he comes to the Corinthian church, which is a very, very Greek cultural church. And he says, I'm not going to come to you and use all the arguments and all the wisdom that you hear from other people. Say, I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to try and use these persuasive arguments. I'm just going to tell you what the gospel message is. Because it is the power of God. And it has the power to save. He says, that's what I'm coming to do. I'm not coming to proclaim something with great words and wisdom. He's saying, I'm coming in weakness, in trembling, in fear, just to tell you what I have experienced, what God has done for me. He says that it's all about Christ. Everything that he does is about the cross of Christ. And that's the important bit. He says, I'm going to proclaim Christ and Christ crucified. And in the church, so often we forget the crucifixion. You see, we get so caught up with that we live post-cross, and that we have the power of God with us, and we can do whatever we want to do in the power of God. I'm going to have life and life in all its fullness, which is true. But sometimes we forget that being a Christian is costly, and that following Christ, Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow. He says, it's a difficult journey to walk. It's not easy. The Christian walk is a place of brokenness. It's a place of humility. It's a place where actually things aren't always as good as you wish they could be. And this morning Roger talked about Mary and how Mary found herself, this ordinary woman, found herself in a situation where an angel came to her and said, you're going to have a child. He's going to be the Messiah. And Roger spoke excellently about how Mary just went, what? She didn't say that. She went, yes, let it be to me as you have said. But how? And the angel says one of my most favourite verses in the entire Bible, with God, all things are possible. It's saying, do you dare to put your trust in the fact that the ways of God are not the ways of man? That's why Paul said, I'm not going to use the wisdom and the philosophy and the arguments that you have in your society. I'm not going to try and cling on to the culture and try and tap that in and say, how does that work for my faith? He says, I'm going to proclaim the mystery of heaven, something which is so beyond our human understanding that it's only by the Spirit of God you understand it. He's saying only by faith. It isn't something you can comprehend through logical arguments, through a rational understanding. This is something which has to be grasped, has to be received, has to be grabbed with two hands. It's a gift which is freely given. God sent his only Son into the world, proclaiming those words that with God, nothing is impossible. And he sent his Son into the world to live the perfect life with no sin, proclaiming the heart of God, bringing good news to the poor, freedom to the captives, declaring the year of Jubilee, the fact that God wants to do something amazing in this world. And it's all for those who will freely receive it. And yet that was a costly task. And it says in our passage tonight that if the rulers of the age had understood what Jesus was saying, he wouldn't have been crucified. But because it was a mystery so far beyond what they understood, they took him to the cross. He suffered for what he knew to be the case, what he knew to be true. And he suffered on the cross. And he died for our sins, bearing all of our shame, all of our burdens. And there he died. And Satan thought he'd won the victory, where he thought that actually he had managed to crucify Christ. He managed to kill Christ. Because he thought that he'd won over power over Jesus. That he had shown Satan had more power than Christ. And yet what Christ does is by humbling himself in humility, he dies the death that we should die. And he is restored to life by God. And he says that now, because he lives for eternity, now we can live for eternity. That's the story of the gospel. But how did God choose to turn the world back to him? Was it through coming down with great angels and triumph and massive glory saying, "Boo! Here I am, I'm God, look at me, I'm really, really powerful." No. He came as a small child. He came as a lowly human. He was fully God and fully man. He didn't come down as God. He came humbling himself, saying, "I'm going to put myself in the same situation as you. I'm not going to show my power through glory. I'm going to show my power through service, through humility, through loving the unlovable, through going to the places that people won't go, by being a light in the darkness." That's the power that Christ used. And that's the power that Paul is talking about in this passage. It's a power which isn't to be greater than. It's a power that says, through humility, through service, I have the power to do something which worldly power can't do. I have the power to change the world. You think about all the leaders of the world, the UN, and they try to sort out peace here, and they try to do this here and that there, and yet that's had no effect compared to what one man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago has done for this world. The cross of Christ has changed the world we live in, because it is a message of hope for all. But it's a life that is costly. It's a life that isn't easy. And we often forget, when we're singing our joyful songs to the Lord, that actually the Christian walk of discipleship is the road to the cross. And at the cross, that's where God meets us. Because Christ chooses to suffer with us. He chooses to walk alongside us, to experience our pain, to share in our shame. On the cross, he's saying, "Identify with where you're at." He's saying, "I'm going to become like you. It doesn't matter what it is you've done, I'm going to walk alongside you in that." And that's where the power of God came from. The power of God was shown in weakness. And that's what Paul says. He says, "I haven't come trying to be the most amazing person ever, the most charismatic leader." He says, "I've come to simply proclaim to you the cross of Christ. The fact that that has power to change your life." And he says, "I've come to demonstrate through the power of the Spirit that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God." He's saying, "I'm not trying to ask you to hang your hopes on a logical argument which leads to X, Y, and Z." He's saying, "I want you to see the power of God at work in your life, so that your faith is not based on a human understanding. It is a power which is based, it's an understanding that's based on the power of God." He's saying, "I want you to know the power of God. And the power of God is not found in those who are strong. It's a power which is found in those who are weak." And what Paul says in this passage is basically, "I am weak. I am a fool. And that's why God chooses to use me." It says in 2 Corinthians 10:10, Paul's talking about the arguments that people are saying against him in the Corinthian church. And they say, "This guy, Paul, he writes superbly well. He writes some good letters. But when you meet him, he's not much to look at. He's not a very good speaker. Not a great guy." Yeah. He's saying, he wasn't all that. You haven't got to be all that before God can use you. That's what Roger was saying again this morning. The fact that you're ordinary, the fact that you are messed up, the fact that you can't do it by yourself is the very thing that allows God to work through you. Because if you say, "God, I can't, but I know that you can," God goes, "We can work with that." If you think that you can do it, well, what's going to happen is God won't be able to do what he wants to do. Because your plans, your wisdom, is not the wisdom that God has. If you want to see the power of God working more in your life, recognize that because you're weak, that's why God can be made strong through you. God hasn't chosen you because you're the most righteous person. He hasn't chosen you because you're the best speaker or the best prophet or the best prayer. He's chosen you because he loves you. And that's what Paul keeps going back to. I'm going to live my life by the fact that Christ loves me. I am not deserving. I am not righteous. But because of Christ, I can be all these things through the power of God. And he writes this, Paul, in the verse just beforehand, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. So it's saying, because of him you're in Christ Jesus. It's saying, he has chosen you because of him. He loves you. And it's saying that Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Those three things. Christ is our righteousness, so we haven't got to struggle and strive to be righteous on our own strength. He says Christ becomes our righteousness. He says Christ becomes our holiness. We're not good enough, we're not holy enough. But God becomes our holiness. Christ becomes our holiness. And he becomes our redemption. The cross is about our redemption and God wanting us to live with him for eternity. And when Christ is resurrected, and it says in Acts, he talks to his disciples and says, I'm going to give you an advocate, I'm going to give you a counselor who is exactly like me, to live with you, to be in you, and to do the works that I've been doing. I'm basically going to give you the batteries to let you live out the thing that you have been seeking for. I'm going to give you the power to do that. And he gives them the Holy Spirit, and each one of us can receive the Holy Spirit. And that's the power by which we can live. And the Holy Spirit is most active, I think, in our lives when we recognise that we're weak and we go, God, I can't do this, but I know that you can. I'd even go far to say is probably that the weaker you are, the more God can use you. Because actually, in your weakened state, you have to rely on God. You have to recognise that it can only be the power of God that can do this, because I certainly can't. And Paul says, don't boast in yourself, boast only in Christ. Paul's saying that's all I'm going to do is just boast in Christ because I had nothing to boast in. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be an apostle. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be saved. If it wasn't for that, he's given me a gift of power to be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to do it. That's the gift of power. It's a gift that allows you to live the Christ-like life. With the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can follow that Calvary road to the cross, where you take up those burdens and we say, okay, God, I need you to work through this. I need you to somehow come through because I can't do this on my own. But I want your wisdom and your power to be glorified. I want you to do something with this. The circumstances that I see around me, the things that I see, the things that people are telling me in the worldly wisdom, they say, this isn't good, this isn't right, this isn't great. But I want to see it with the eyes that God sees it with. Those Luke 1:37 words of, with God, nothing is impossible. But the question is, are we going to live with God? Are we going to let God do that in our life? Are we going to let the power of God work through us? Because there's this thing in the church where we kind of feel that if we're not sorted that with God enough, then we're not right. We can't do things in church. So if I'm a bit messed up, I can't pray for someone down here at the front because I'm not holy enough, I'm not right enough with God. I can't do that. Or, you know, because of this or because of that, I can't do this in church because actually I'm not right with God. And there's a place and a time for making sure that you are right before God. But you haven't got to have everything in your life sorted for God to use you. And it's the Holy Spirit through you that helps work out your salvation. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you, which is your redemption, your righteousness, your holiness. It's that which changes your life. We need to stop trying to become holy on our own and start relying on the power of God within us. And the walk of God is a walk of humility, of service, of saying, I am going to learn myself for the benefit of others. Because actually that has greater power than the enemy has in this world. That's why Christ chose to die rather than to come down with great glory. He came down so say, I'm going to live with you. I'm going to share in all of your pain, all of your suffering. I'm going to come to where you're at. And then we're going to work from there together. He doesn't want you to do it on your own. He wants you to do it with him. And when we let him do things in our life, it has the power to change the world. Because with God, all things are possible. And Paul then writes this again in Ephesians, where he says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ask or imagine, according to Christ at work within you. Not he's going to do amazing things. He's going to do amazing things through you. That if you let go and let God, he will do amazing things with you. Because when you're weak, he is made strong. Paul says, I had this affliction and I asked God 3 times to take it away from me. And he wouldn't take it away. And when I asked the Lord why it was, he said, because the Lord said, when you're weak, I am made strong. I think that's really profound. That the gift that God gives us is a gift that says, the weaker you are, the stronger I can be in your life. The stronger I can do things. The more power I can release through you. I think that's a profound gift for God to give to his people. And it says in this passage, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. In another translation it says, what no human mind has imagined. God's saying, I want to meet you, I want to meet us, where we're at. I want to work my power in and through you, because I love you. And he says, I have got a plan for those that I love. And no mind has conceived it. No mind has imagined what it will be. But it's going to be something amazing, because God loves you. And he can only do what he wants to do through you. Each one of us are special to God. And God has a special purpose, a special plan for each of us. And it says in Jeremiah that those are plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. They're not to harm us or destroy us. He's got a hope and a future for everyone here. And Paul says, but your mind probably can't even conceive what it is that God has in mind. And if God has shown you a glimpse of what that might be, of where some of his plans are, just like Roger said this morning, I want to say the same thing again tonight. If God's given you a vision, if God's given you something, there's been a word over you, and you've been going, how can this be? We don't say, how can it be, to humanize. We say, God, let it be to me as you have said. Because with him, all things are possible. And God's plans will come to be what he wants them to be. He knows what he wants to do in and through you. That's a free gift. When we just accept the power of God in our lives. And sometimes in the church, we play around with our Christian walk, we play around with our Christian faith, and we forget to put the power of God into it. And we try and do it on our own. We try and become righteous, we try to become holy. And God says, you can only do that with me. It's the right striving, but through the wrong power. It's the power of God through you that can change the world. Not your power working for God. It's a free gift that can change the world. Christ came into the world to change it, to shape it, and to save it. That's what we are called to go out and do. To pick up our cross, follow him, and everything that we do, proclaim Christ and Christ crucified. And say that I'm going to strive to live for his kingdom, his power, and his glory. And that will mean times of hardship, times of pain. Because we're human and we're messed up. But God says, I want to walk with you through every step of that. That's the message tonight. The fact that God loves you, he cares about you, he's got a plan which can be fulfilled through his power. to a free gift given. And this passage talks a little bit about the mystery of God. And the problem with the Christian faith, sometimes we try by human wisdom to try and understand it. And God says, it's a mystery. And theology, which is something that I study, is an effort to try and understand who God is. And the more theology I've learnt, the more I've realised that the answer generally is, don't know. It's a mystery. It's a bit of this, a bit of that. And somewhere in the middle they might meet and somehow God worked it out. It's okay to hold mystery in our lives. It's okay to have mystery in our Christian walk. You haven't got to know all the answers. And the word we use for the Christian life really is, it's a paradox. And I came across something when I was preparing this sermon called the Paradox of Discipleship. And it talks about what a true believer is. And it says, a true believer is strong enough to be weak, successful enough to fail, wise enough to say, I don't know, serious enough to laugh, rich enough to be poor, right enough to say, I'm wrong, mature enough to be childlike, planned enough to be spontaneous, controlled enough to be flexible, free enough to endure captivity, knowledgeable enough to ask questions, loving enough to be angry, great enough to be anonymous, responsible enough to play, assured enough to be rejected, stable enough to cry, victorious enough to lose. I found that really quite a profound thing. That God says, I want you to be strong by being weak. You're going to be rejected, but I want you to be assured. I want you to be mature, but I also want you to be childlike. That's the mystery that God is wanting us to get hold of. He says, you can't do that through human wisdom. You can only do that by the power of God at work in you. And it's that which gives us faith to believe in the power of God. It's that which gives us the maturity to grow up in Him. I'm going to leave it up there, just for a meditation purpose, really. I just want to think about, where are we at with God? Have we actually said to God, I can't do that because I'm weak? Have we said to God, I don't understand this, so I can't do that. That makes no sense. Actually, have we got the toy out of the box, I've got to put the batteries in? And we're going, why won't it work? And actually God's saying, you need more of my power in your life. Now may the Spirit of God, who brooded over the waters and brought order out of chaos, find a home in our hearts and settle our minds as we sleep, that tomorrow we may wake and live to God's glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and those that you love evermore. Amen. Let's now share in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.